Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Ukraine Calling. I'm Oksana Smerechuk for Hromadske Radio in Kyiv, and we're bringing you our feature in-depth interview followed by some new music from Ukraine. This week's interview is about something that not many people have heard about in the Ukrainian context, the metal scene. Our interviewer, Bohdan Nahailo, talks to Spanish photographer Esther Sagara, and Kyiv gallerista Miroslava Hartman joins in the conversation. That will be a little further on, but first of all, this week's news. Katerina Handzyuk, a Ukrainian activist, has died 3 months after she was injured in an acid attack. Handzyuk, who was an advisor to the mayor of Kherson and a critic of local police, sustained severe burns to more than a third of her body. She had been sprayed with a liter of sulfuric acid outside her home in the southeastern city of Kherson. She had spent her last months in treatment for her injuries in a hospital in Kyiv, where she underwent 11 operations. From her hospital bed, covered in burns, Handzyuk had recently appealed to the government to launch a probe into the increasing number of attacks on activists. Local and international human rights groups have recorded more than 55 unsolved attacks on activists since the start of 2017. Ukraine's President Petro Poroshenko and the Istanbul-based Orthodox Patriarch signed an accord that paves the way for the recognition of an independent Ukrainian church. They signed the agreement, known as Atomos, setting out the steps needed to formalize this recognition of independence. On October the 11th, Ecumenical Patriarch Bartholomew I had agreed to recognize the independence of the Ukrainian Orthodox Church from the Moscow Patriarchate. German Chancellor Angela Merkel has visited Ukraine. Speaking after talks with Ukrainian President Petro Poroshenko, Merkel said Germany would support extending the European Union's restrictions against Russia over its support for rebels in eastern Ukraine. Merkel cited a lack of progress in fulfilling the 2015 peace deal. Russia imposed financial sanctions on Thursday against 322 Ukrainians and 68 companies linked to high-profile politicians or members of the country's business elite. Included in the sanctions were Ukrainian Interior Minister Arsen Avakov, Deputy Prime Minister Ivana Klimpush-Tsintsadze, former Prime Minister Arseniy Yatsenyuk, members of parliament and far-right groups. In their comments, almost all of them compared the Russian sanctions to receiving an award. The European Union awarded its top human rights prize to Oleg Sentsov, a Ukrainian filmmaker imprisoned in Russia, accused of plotting acts of terrorism. The award cited him as a symbol of all political prisoners being held there. European Parliament President Antonio Tajani announced the decision in Strasbourg and said that Sentsov was awarded the Sakharov Prize because of his courage and his determination. Sentsov was sentenced to 20 years in prison in 2015 for conspiring to commit acts of terrorism, charges he denies. The 42-year-old director staged a hunger strike for 144 days to protest the incarceration of dozens of Ukrainians in Russia. He entered it earlier this month after being faced with the prospect of being force-fed. Mark Etherington is replacing Alexander Hug, head of the OSCE's special monitoring mission in Ukraine. Etherington has been in Ukraine since 2014, when the OSCE's monitoring mission there began. Unlike his predecessor, Etherington has more practical military experience and experience in resolving conflicts in hotspots. A 20-year-old student of Ternopil National Technical University, Tamara Voshchilo, developed a glove which facilitates communication with people who have speech and hearing impairments. The inventor spent only 200 Ukrainian hryvnia, which is about $7, to make the first prototype. Then her teacher, Andrina Doshetko, created an app to make the glove work.
Well, hello. Welcome to our new edition of Ukraine Calling for Hromadske Radio and to our in-depth discussion. This week, a subject not so commonly heard of on our programs, but very interesting all the same. I'm delighted to have as my guest Esther Segarra, a Spanish photographer who excels in photographing the icons and idols and emblems of the metal world. She'll explain what that is. We're not talking about gold, for those of you who are not aware. Esther, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Now, let me just say at the outset that Esther is probably the world's best known photographer of the metal music scene. And I understand you're Spanish by biology.
I am, from Barcelona.
And you've exhibited all over the world.
Yes, I have been living based in London for the last 20 years, where I started my career as a photographer, specializing in the most extreme part of metal. And that's taken me to work all over the world and to exhibit all over the world, Rome, Norway, Holland, now here.
And why here? Why Ukraine? This is what our listeners will no doubt be asking.
Well, I am here invited by Miroslava Harmon from a Triptych Gallery, where she curated this show called Idols, in conjunction with two Ukrainian artists, a painter and a sculptor, Igor
Rechanek.
Yes, and Nikita.
Sorry.
I'm not that good at Ukrainian yet. So my pictures have joined their works, and together it gives a sense of what metal aesthetics and energy are about.
So you and Miroslava Hartman's Triptych Gallery, you've helped to place Ukrainian avant-garde, contemporary music-related culture into the mainstream.
You could say that. I mean, it's yes, it is a very unique exhibition because normally people think about metal, they think about the music, but there is a lot more to the music. It is a lifestyle, it is an energy, and the fact that the both artist and myself are influenced and work within metal one way or another as a listener's fans, and our work is very much connected to the music, makes it a very unique exhibition.
Well, we'll mention the other artists, their works, Nikita Tsoy and Igor Hrechanek, who's a sculptor. But first, tell me, why was the Norwegian ambassador opening it? It had almost the semblance of a diplomatic event.
Well, within extreme metal, the Norwegian black metal is a very big, huge part. It is Norway's biggest musical export. So the Norwegian embassy, they have a role of always sponsoring and promoting Norwegian culture in whichever level. So they do not discriminate what kind of genre of music it is. And black metal is a genre that will help to sponsor and to get to go into a wider audience or any event that will help to give an understanding of the genre, and there is a lot of musicians featured in the Norwegian featured in the exhibition, and that's where the Norwegian embassy kindly decided to sponsor the show. Yes.
Well, I was very struck by the fact that the Norwegian ambassador not only opened it, but he spoke in Ukrainian, and he made everybody feel very impressed by him and his cultural, shall we say, horizons that he has and abilities. Now, tell me, looking at Ukraine as somebody here for the first time, I mm-hmm. understand, yes?
Yes, very first time, yes.
Is Ukraine known on the music scene
yes.
at all, on the contemporary music scene?
Yes, there is some. I mean, it's not maybe the main focus, but extreme metal and metal is a genre that is found worldwide. Even in even in Iraq, you find extreme metal, and Ukraine is no exception. There is probably the most known band outside Ukraine is Drud, which are signed to Season of Mist, which is the same label that released my book. But I found actually with a lot of the people attending at the show how healthy the metal scene is here in Kiev. And I got to know some other bands through some of the attendees.
Okay, tell us a little bit your first impressions from meeting. Let's talk about musicians, then we can talk about the other artists. Are you on the same wavelength with them? Have they been exposed to the currents and development on the metal scene in the outside world? Or are they more or do they reflect somehow more traditional, I don't mean ethnic, ethnographic, but traditional forms of metal that have developed in Ukraine?
The metal is a genre that has a very sort of universal language, but at the same time is very inclusive of like local, you would say, particularities. And you will find a lot of metal bands that they will include sort of native instruments or native melodies, because at the end of the day, as a music expression, you will channel everything that has been part of you, and that includes your nationality, but within this universal language, which will make it appealing to someone from completely the other side of the wall.
And do Ukrainian bands also perform outside at festivals?
Not that much. I think. Well, Drutk in particular, they never perform. But in some, because within the underground metal and more extreme metal, there is a lot of kind of within attitude, where you will express your music, but that does not mean that you will go and perform or you will travel for it,
Well, we had a band here that's been around since the late 80s that was, I think, for most people associated with heavy metal in the Ukrainian context, but more, I suppose, gothic metal. That's Komumniz, with the dark black side always portrayed. But they've kept very close to national themes and even the poetry of Taras Shevchenko, the national poet, and others. So they've managed to combine the very modern, the cutting edge, with local, shall we say, icons.
Mm.
And you, in your work, how did you start? Were you influenced by something specifically in Catalonia, in Barcelona, or was it a response to global trends?
Well, as a teenager, I was extremely rebellious and always attracted to the dark side, always attracted to the devil's music, you would say, in different forms, from punk.
Do you mean jazz?
Yeah.
As it used to be known.
Yes. Yes. Well, yes. And so that's been sort of musically and culturally in every way has always been sort of a bit the devil's advocate and the idea of the adversary, the always be opposed to what you're supposed to say, what you're supposed to do, and that led me to rock and metal and kind of the darker side of it. My first encounter with the extreme music was in a very small club in London, and it was I walked in and it was covered in smoke. It was up, pitch black. People were wearing spikes and hoods, and it looked the most dangerous thing in the world. And I thought, I found home.
Right. Well, that's very interesting. And did you feel at home in the last few days in Ukraine?
Yes, very much. I mean, probably a huge part because of my host. Miroslav has been amazing in taking me around and explaining me a lot of things about Ukraine that I wasn't aware of, and taking me to different sites. It's been really...
And she has a dark side too, I understand, in her earlier days, she told me.
Yes, that I will leave it to her to reveal.
Miroslava, very quickly, because you have been on this program before, tell me... I was at the exhibition. I was very impressed. But were you pleased by the attendance and the interest?
I was very pleased. Just very quickly, yes, I am a metal fan. I can say that. And I grew up reading magazines where Esther Segarra's photos were featured. So for me, on a personal level, this is a wow moment. And also on a professional level, I'm extremely pleased to show, world-famous extreme metal music photographer alongside two Ukrainian artists, both emerging. Nikita Tsoy, the painter, is at the beginning of his career, and Ihor Hrychanik is very much on the Olympus of Ukrainian art as the sculptor.
He was very impressive. Perhaps we could put a few links in. I'll talk to the editors so that people can see the works of these, particularly of the sculptor Ihor Hrychanik. Yes. Tell me more about the artists themselves, their understanding of what they do. For example, Igor, the sculptures seem to be related to metal, but they're not perhaps traditional metal. They're more sort of tangential to it.
Yeah. Well, they're probably
suggestive of
more
it.
Metal in the materials that you use.
Literally made of metal.
Metal, you know, the proper metal. But yeah, I mean, when I came across his work, I was really you know, amazed how much he kept, you know, like you could feel that it was totally inspired by metal themes and even the titles and just the structure. And actually, when I met the artist, he confirmed, I mean, that feeling that I had from his sculptures.
Yeah. We're talking about Ihor Hryczanek.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And now, what did you find that you had in common? And what did you find that... shall we say, wasn't mutually understood from the brief or long discussions that you've had over the few days you've been here?
With
the artists?
Well, we all love metal. That was one thing that came clear. And you can see that in our work. Even, you know, Nikita's paintings, they very much have the movement and the anger and the tension that is, you know, that the metal music generates and or comes from. You know, there's always that tension and this sort of, it's not an easy music to listen to.
But there's still, I would say from a subjective point of view, as a viewer, there's still more subdued than your very forthright work, shall we say.
Oh, really?
Well, no. It was just the eve of Halloween, and I was very struck by that image in the church of hooded, what were they, priests,
ghost.
Monks?
Yeah.
Ghosts.
Ghost is a band, it's a Swedish band.
Very powerful
band.
Image. I don't know how that would do today in a cultural magazine, whether it would pass or not, because, you know, we have a lot of issues here concerned with the church and traditional values. And so perhaps for more underground currents, it would be appropriate. But maybe some people were shocked by it.
I hope so. I hope so they were shocked. Because I mean, I come from a country, Spain, which the role of church is very big and is very oppressive. And that's something that...
And you had the Franco regime.
And I had
the Franco,
exactly. So I come, you know, my upbringing was very oppressive in many ways. And for me to put like a band like Ghost, where their whole idea is very much based on the manners that the church, you know, uses to spread the message, but instead of expressing the message of God, they will express or they will propagate the message of Satan. To me, putting those together, in a way, it's like without God, you have no Satan, and without Satan, you have no God. So in a way, it's bringing the whole thing into one unity, because it's the two sides of the same coin.
Interesting angle, I suppose, you know, stimulating food for thought, shall we say. Let's leave it at that. Did anybody come up to you at the exhibition and say, you know, we're not ready for this yet? This is...
No, everyone said that how much they loved the pictures. Even, I mean, there was a lot of metal fans, and that I would be expected that. But I think people were really open, and they found it really interesting, and they were really taken by the intensity of it. And even people that you would consider more mainstream in the way they carried themselves, they were very complimentary of the work.
Okay, I'm talking to Esther Segarra, a leading metal photographer who's just been at the opening of an exhibition with two contemporary Ukrainian artists at the Triptych Gallery here in Kyiv, just on the eve of Halloween, but this exhibition will go on for a while longer. So there is an opportunity to see it. It's in many ways a first for Ukraine. And my next question is going to be, you've just spoken about metal as a form of reaction against, resistance to, defiance of oppressive conditions, oppressive institutions. And I wonder why we haven't had more of that in Ukraine. We went through the communist period, we had dissidents, but we're fairly tame and subdued in the musical and photography scene. Now, how would you explain that? Is it a cultural thing, a regional thing?
I'm not sure. I mean, I think even though it is not easy in certain countries for metalheads or for people to come across metal in the first place. And even when they do, they might feel very alone because there is not that, you know, it's not a popular genre, so have access to the music can become really difficult.
I just interrupt you? Because yes. People of all ages listen to this, you know, and I myself just missed out on heavy metal. I was born a little bit before some more traditional, you know, Pink Floyd, Beatles,
I
all
love
of that.
Pink Floyd.
Yeah, so, well, somebody had to start. Anyway, I just want a quote from, you know, what anyone would find on Wikipedia, whatever, just to put things in perspective. So, heavy metal, genre of rock music that includes a group of related styles that are intense, virtuosic, and powerful. Driven by the aggressive sounds of the distorted electric guitar, heavy metal is arguably the most commercially successful genre of rock music. So is that why you went into that?
No, I mean, it is, I would say, not even more successful, but it is the most stable genre of music. I mean, metalheads are dedicated, are committed, and we just don't like, oh, I just listen for metal, you know, metal for a few, you know, a couple of years, and then I'll move on to another genre. It's like, if you are into metal, for real, you are into metal for life.
Well, okay, the next question, I guess, is about metal being a heavily male-dominated environment in business, right? Mm-hmm. And yet, you, as a photographer, have made it to the Olympus of metal photography. Has it been easy to assert yourself through your talent? Were you accepted initially or not?
It's difficult to know how I could compare how things would have been if I was not a woman, because I mean, I am a woman in everything I do and how I relate to the world. So I don't know. With my talents, if I would have been something else, how it would have, you know, would have been embraced more. I've always been aware of people's expectations as, you know, a woman, and I like to challenge that. So I don't take that. I don't take a victim attitude. Oh, they're going to think I'm not good enough. I'm like, oh, so you think that you are smart, right? So maybe I'm going to try to outsmart you, and you think you're tough. Well, maybe I'm going to show you that I am tough, too.
Well, we've had a few examples, very strong examples in recent years of women's groups who have become protesters for all sorts of causes, I would think the proper causes, and have been very active, including bearing their bodies abroad in front of presidents and, mm-hmm. and whatnot. You're probably aware of them. So we had Pussy Riot in Russia, but we had the Ukrainian groups that have been active and still remain active. Are they somebody that attracted your attention and support? Did you identify with them in some
ways? Yeah, I identify with any cause that it is rebellious and that it is, you know, protesting, and it is making your point and taking whatever steps is needed to do so. I am also in favor of using exposing the female body, because that's something that has been so much repressed and so much that has been considered, oh, no, we can't have showing the female body. Why not? You know, the male body has been shown. Why not the female? And if that's more dangerous than the male body, we should, wonder ourselves why.
Well, I would suggest humbly that perhaps the display of the female body has become more commercialized than the male body. The male, showing the male body in certain quarters is acceptable and encouraged, but should we say for the mainstream, it's somehow still not balanced out.
Yes. I mean, yes, it is true that it has been used, yes, in a very commercial way, and maybe not in a very... Yeah, maybe sort of, out of context, you know?
Yes. Okay, so beginning to wind up now. From your observations here in Ukraine, what do you see as encouraging, and what do you see as, not disappointing, but something that could be better? In your spheres, in photography, arts, general understanding of these issues and approaches, openness to the world...
I was surprised how much commitment and passion there was. I mean, with some people that I've met for their music and their art and their commitment to it, that was very encouraging to see. On the other hand, there is, you cannot help to feel a certain isolation of Ukraine in relation to the rest of the world. So that is almost like an invisible barrier around it, which makes me wonder that the, regardless of all the passion and regardless of all the commitment, how much are able to sort of go beyond their own country.
Yeah, Esther, when you were traveling here, when you got an invitation to exhibit, were you a bit apprehensive? Were you confident that you were going to a part of Europe?
I was like, oh yeah, I'll go to Kiev and I'll go to Ukraine, and yeah, it kind of it somehow it's sort of
something different.
It was different, but also kind of familiar. You know, it's not like what you know what country, but you know, it was Ukraine. I had heard very much about it. So, but at the same, as I was coming here, actually, I realized that I didn't know that much about the country, and that was a bit like, oh, actually, I know a lot more about other European countries, and I can relate. You know, I realized I was quite ignorant about Ukraine.
Okay.
Unfortunately, but.
Well, there was a certain gentleman called Picasso who spent some time in Barcelona, who had a Ukrainian wife. Did you know that?
I didn't know that.
Ah, you see. We have to return to some roots. Anyway, people don't know this, and I think that's one of the tragedies, that Ukraine was cut off from the rest of Europe for so long and is scrambling to get back into the main fold, as it were. So I think your visit here and the artists of your caliber help us to catch up and make up for lost time. Mm. My last question I always ask, Miroslava knows, any parting thoughts, wishes that you want to share with the audience? It can be an impression, it can be a wish, it can be just a sentiment.
Well, I hope that anyone who feels that heavy metal music is for them, they find their way to it. It's a wonderful genre, it's incredibly empowering, and I think it's great. And I think that's something that could go very well, will fit very well within Ukraine society. And also, I hope that Ukraine society never abandons their more traditional art, because it's incredibly rich, it's incredibly colorful, it's incredibly powerful. And I hope that, you know, the more sort of stark, bare, oppressive structures that I found in Kiev, they don't crush, you know, the Ukrainian
spirit, soul,
spirit and soul. Yes,
creativity.
Because I think it's very rich and it's very interesting, and the world needs more of that.
Well, thank you for those very encouraging words. I've been talking to Esther Segarra, world famous photographer, and not only. She's into music and making very interesting clips. I encourage you to have a look at her clips on YouTube and know more about the strength of her spirit. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for the opportunity. It's been a pleasure.
And thank you, Miroslava, for joining us also. There we are. Short and sweet. Something different, huh?
Yes.
Thanks so much.
So we kind of... I think we covered a lot of ground, and yet people learn from it, and yet at the same time we can manage to combine the two worlds.
There's plenty of time to see the exhibition.
Yes.
Still.
Yes.
Yeah.
Good. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. I can't say it'll be out this weekend because it's too late now, but probably maybe next weekend or the weekend after. Well, yeah. In the next week or two, as soon as there will be a transcript, mm-hmm. there will be photographs, so there will, and an iPod cast and everything else, so you'll be able to you know, use access it and share it with your friends and colleagues.
Great.
And business partners. Merci beaucoup.
Gracias.
Grazie de nada.
And in music, Tatiana Vlasova is now the lead vocalist of a new group called Vlasna. They recently released a song called Kaska, which means story or tale. So this is something like a lullaby to lull adults. Enjoy. We'll be right back.
темна ніч, щастя тоді воно без облич, давно не мовчать за вікном коти, ми будемо сміятись і плакати, болить голова, відпускай таксі, солодкі слова замовляй на всіх, кажуть літати найлегше в снах, мабуть щасливий знак, починається весна, чи це не так багато значить, я давно не пам'ятаю, проти я чи за. Доторкнись і крок за кроком, починаєм ненароком, ми торкались неба, долітаючи до сонця і назад. Гості на цій межі, погляди гострі, немов ножі, темно ніяк не знайти сліди, і ходить годинник туди-сюди, чи брати на себе чужу вину, я не хотіла таку війну, кажуть однакове все вночі, ми поговорили, а тепер мовчи, ага. Починається весна, чи це не так багато значить, я давно не пам'ятаю, проти я чи за. Доторкнись і крок за кроком, починаєм ненароком, ми торкатись неба, долітаючи до сонця і назад. Весна, чи це не так багато значить, я давно не пам'ятаю, проти я чи за. Доторкнись і крок за кроком, починаєм ненароком, ми торкатись неба, долітаючи до сонця.
Hromadske Radio is once again turning to its listeners for financial support to help support fact-based news and honest reporting. If you can contribute to this crowdfunding drive in any way, please go to the link on our website, which tells you how you can donate. And next week, we'll be back with more commentary on events in Ukraine with interview host Bohdan Mihailo. We'd be happy to receive any feedback from you, and you can write to us at ukrainecalling@hromadskeradio.org. This is Oksana Smerechuk in Kyiv. Thanks so much for listening.